Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 53 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudevan1 on Twitter. And then we've got Jared Kimber, as always, who you can find literally everywhere. And if you are new to Crick Picks, what we do on this podcast is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top 15 for that category, so top 5 each. And the order is basically based on a snake-style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And today's topic is the best number 5 batters in the history of Test cricket. Jared, you did a feature piece on this. It's not a very straightforward topic because batters either are promoted to number 5 from the lower order at times, or they're demoted when they get older after batting at 3 and 4 for the longest time. It's not a very steady position, is it?
No, I mean, essentially, if you're an opener, you're an opener, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a great batter, you're probably batting at 3 or 4. So by definition, this is a spot that is automatically looked at differently, right, within cricket. It's a spot in which you are probably not in your team's best players more often than not. And then it's also not as steady a position. As you said, there are many different reasons why players kind of cycle through that. So yeah, I do think it's a different kind of position, all things considered.
Also, you have first pick, but just to tell the public and all of our viewers and listeners that we have put a cutoff in this particular, you know, exercise of 40 innings. So a batter must have batted at least 40 times at number 5 in Test cricket to be eligible for selection. So yeah, do the honors, Jared. You have pick number 1.
AB de Villiers.
Good one.
I think he's the greatest number 5 of all time. I think he probably was a number 4. And because they had Callis, he didn't bat at number 4. And so because of that, there's no hesitation for me. Became a very good player of spin, but was a brilliant player of pace bowling. Perhaps one of the greatest players of pace bowling we've ever seen, especially high-end fast bowling. Was just a great batter. Maybe one of the most pure batting talents we've ever seen in the game. I'm not sure. I'll put it this way. I'm still not sure we ever saw the best out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still think, I think that he could block out a draw for 3 days and he could hit you 100 off 60 balls without any issues at all. And he could face the best spinners and the best pace bowlers while doing it on dodgy pitches and on flat pitches. Yeah. I just think he's the best number 5 of all time.
I would have gone with AB as my first pick as well, even though he doesn't have the most runs at that position. So in 74 innings, he has 3,913, but his average is 62.11, which is around 12 more runs than his career average. So clearly he was at his best at number 5 and he didn't really score more runs at any other position. 14 tons and 15 50s at 5. And to your point, Jared, can play pace, can play spin, is versatile in the sense that he can block it out or he can completely go berserk. So I think that's a good one and kind of upset that you've taken him, because now it's a really, really tricky pick for number 2. There are two names which stick out over here and I could literally, you know, do a coin flip and pick one of those, but I'm going to go Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul. Unorthodox batting style. We all remember his stance, right? And he batted at number 5 for 151 innings. That, I think, is the record for any batter at number 5. So he is the quintessential number 5, if you will. And he scored 6,883 runs at that position. His average is 56.41, which is more than his career average. And 19 tons and 35 50s at number 5. A proper grinder, right? And he would annoy the crap out of bowlers. And just such a wonderful cricketer in the sense that if you ever got to witness him bat, you're like, what the hell is going on? Is this cricket? Is this real? Right? Fawad Alam is the only batter who's had a similar stance to him, I reckon. But yeah, if he's averaging 5 more runs per innings at number 5, then, I mean, clearly it was his favorite position.
Well, it was, because they needed him to bat higher and he wouldn't go higher. That's one of the things that's one of the things I find really hard about this position, because he's not the only player on this list of people got very angry when I did the piece and they're like, I can't believe you don't have Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul and insert name of the other person here. And I was like, but how do we look at the fact that both of those players needed to bat higher in the order and refused to, which meant that so that they could bat in their cushy position. And that's why finding the best number 5 of all time, that's kind of one of the reasons I like AB de Villiers more. I think this person, Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul, is probably one of the most quintessential number 5s of all time, in that he felt comfortable there. It suited him. There's a period of time where I don't think anyone in world cricket knew how to get Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul out. This is not a bad decision. But you understand my not questions, because that's the wrong way of looking at it, but just it would have been nice in a very poor team if he batted higher than number five.
Yeah, I suppose so. But then again, Lara...
What do you mean you suppose so?
Lara was batting at three for a long time as well. So maybe you do have a point.
It's after... That. No, it's after Lara when he bats at five a lot more.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, so...
It really is. If you look at it, it's, you know, so I don't know. I just think there's an element of the team needed better batting up the order and he didn't provide it.
Hmm. And for that reason, now he's made it to the list as well because he's got a fuck ton of runs at five.
Yeah, no, and he should be at the top of this list. Like he should be in the first couple of picks. I'm not questioning him there, but I'm really using him to point out how hard it is to work out number fives because of that.
That's fair. Okay, Estelle, two picks for you.
First pick. Very similar record to Chandrapal, Steve Waugh. So. Yep. Just the average is a little lower, but he's got 24 hundreds to Chandrapal's 19. Another guy who batted a lot at number five. I don't know if there's the backstory like Chandrapal's, like that he didn't move up, but
exactly the same story.
Yeah. When exactly Jared said story. When Jared said and the other name, I assumed it would be Steve Waugh. But yeah, got a lot of runs, played 140 odd innings. Yeah, 142 innings at number five, 6,700 runs.
Yeah, plus, you know, just to make a case for both Chandrapal and Steve Waugh, they're averaging 51 overall and the average bumps up to 56 plus when they're batting at five. So there's got to be something there, no?
Well, there is something there. It's an easier spot to bat. That's what you're looking at. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would pick to bat five, you know, if I was a really good test batter over batting at number three, because number three sucks. It's a hard position. That's where, you know, you need your better players higher up the order so that you're not three down for 40 every game and you don't have to come in and then save the day as the ball's starting to wear off, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these are not great players. And I'm also not, I think these two we've mentioned are the quintessential. When people think number fives, if you close your eyes, these are the two people that come to your eye. But that is why this is a harder thing to discuss because... If you go back, there was Shane Warne was very vocal about Steve Waugh's batting position, right? Every single West Indian cricket fan was very vocal about Chandrapal's batting position, right? Like these are things. And if they had batted up the order, they could have had a slightly different impact on the games that they had played it. Now, they might have averaged slightly lower and they might not have the same reputation. I remember I've told this story before, but Mark Butcher said one day in a test match, he came in to bat at number six and he was like, oh my God, this is easy, right? He couldn't believe how much easier it was than batting at one, two, three. And we don't always factor that in when we talk about cricketers. True. And that's all I'm factoring in here, not to slag these two players off because they were two of the greatest number fives of all time, but to say that is why when me and Cheyenne started this, we're like, oh shit, what is a number five? And like, do we give more credit to the guys who didn't want to bat up the order? And then, you know, it's a really confusing conversation. But I think we have one, two, three correct in the order that we have now.
I suppose so. And I mean,
I might put Steve Waugh ahead of Shivnar and Chandrapal only because a lot of Chandrapal's runs come when the pitches get a lot flatter in the 2000s. And whereas Waugh's runs come in the harder period, he didn't really get to cash in the 2000s the way that Chandrapal did. And I think if you look back on them, I think maybe that would be the only other thing that I would have. But these are the top three number fives of all time, according to me as well. So well played, everyone. Let's see how we it up from here.
Yeah, I mean, we never really start off this well. So way to jinx it, Jared.
I mean, to be fair, we end it really badly, right? Like, usually.
Well, sometimes we start with Dilara Fernando. It happens.
Okay, number four. Yeah, so this guy, I don't think he didn't bat his entire career at number five, but he still has a really good record and he's one of the best batters to come out of Pakistan, Muhammad Yusuf. I would put as my next pick, averaging 53, 1300s at number five, 3,700 runs. I think slightly higher average to his career average as well.
Yeah. Very, very slight because I think his career average is
52.29.
So he's averaging a run more at number five. And I was surprised actually to locate Yusuf in this list because he's actually batted in 78 innings in his career at five. So you generally think of him as a number four bat, but clearly, you know, the data is suggesting otherwise.
Yeah. It's funny. I think there's probably a switch a little bit between three and four in that period, isn't there? Mm. Sorry, between four and five, because Inzamam al-Haq was a number four, and then he probably becomes number five, and then then Muhammad Yusuf probably does a similar switch when maybe Yunus Khan comes through. Is that fair? I'm trying to think of all the different guys that would have been in there. Yeah. So I don't think of Muhammad Yusuf as a number five as much as some of the other players, but I don't think that means he wasn't, if that makes sense. It's just some of that is this the bias of you lock up Steve Waugh and Chandrapal. We just lock into our heads as number fives automatically. Hmm. And I think that's not the case for all these other players.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're done with four picks, which means that it's my turn again. And this is a tough one. I'm going to go Andy Flower for my next pick. And I mean, he played for Zimbabwe. So Jared, he would actually be coming out to bat a lot when it would be like 40 for three or whatever, right? And he scored a lot of runs over here. If you look at his record, 82 innings at number five, 3,788 runs. He's averaging 54.89. He's got 900s and 2250s as well. I feel like he was, for a minute over there in between, a one-man show when it came to Zimbabwean batting, and a wonderful sweeper of the ball, played spin really, really well. And I mean, if you're a wicketkeeper and averaging 50-plus, I feel like you need to be in the top five, number five test batters of all time.
Yeah, I think you can easily make a claim for him to be second on this list. Mm-hmm. I think because of the amount of runs that Chandrapal and Waugh made, it's a little bit icky. I'm trying to remember where I have those three in my top 50 batters and who I have higher. I know Chandrapal and Shiv are right next. Chandrapal and Waugh are right next to each other. I can't remember if Flower's just ahead of them or just behind them. It doesn't play a lot of cricket, which is a bit of an issue, but. He was a fantastic player and obvious great. And yeah, he should definitely be in the top five here. I don't have any issue there.
All right. We're done with one third of our picks. And so far, we've got consensus, which never happens, I think.
Yep. I'm going to go Graham Thorpe. And I'm not sure if either of you had Graham Thorpe. But the more research... Okay. Before I wrote that piece, would either of you have had Graham Thorpe?
Yes, of course, because he was, you know, one of England's best batters in the 90s, and England had a shit team in the 90s.
Oh, that's interesting, because I don't think if you went around to all fans that there was an automatic consensus that he should be in this list. He was so good, and you know, the more research we did on him, the better he popped in our numbers. I think he's probably one of those players whose numbers at number five look slightly better because when he came back after his break and played brilliantly in Test cricket, he happened to be at number five. Mm-hmm. Whereas at other times in his career, when he was struggling a bit more, he might have played in other numbers. But I think Graham Thorpe is one of the most underrated players in cricket. And I think he was a fantastic player just on a terrible team. Definitely. The more Varun, Cheyenne and I looked into his numbers, more we're like, this guy rocks. And I was pretty high on him already because we looked at him quite a bit for the top 50 batters of all time, which is probably, if you look at his overall record, people would be like, what? But it was like so many things about him popped. So I'm a huge fan and I'll have him. And then next on my list, I'm going to put Alan Border. Mm-hmm. Alan Border, probably at his best, Alan Border as a number four. And when he was a peak player, he then moves down the order to number five when essentially they have someone maybe more naturally talented at number four. And so he manages to average over 50 at number five, well beyond his best, which I think tells you what a good player he was and you know how brilliant he was at just being able to hang around. And again, he's one of those players who's not famous for his batting because of what the impact he had on captaincy and everything else, but he was a truly great player. As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year, and I loved every part of it, except for one, this little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, all one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Selly app and use the code GOODAREAS, all one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Selly.
Yeah, no, very, very interesting picks. I mean, I expected both of them to go very, very soon because it's not a very, very long list either, right? I mean, you've got some really quality number fives and then it's kind of a crapshoot. But on Poppy, of course, rest in peace. And if anyone is struggling with their mental health, do reach out. If you look at his career, he's averaging 44 overall. And in 78 innings at number five, he's averaging 56.21 with 10 hundreds. So that really tells you a story. And with Border, you mentioned how his poor years came at five. He's only scored 3,000 plus runs, like 3,071 at five, and he's still averaging 52.
Yeah.
And he has how many hundreds? Nine. So that is quite remarkable. So safe picks for you. I feel like this was a good quick picks to have first pick in. Which leaves me with my third pick, and I will go for Misbahul Haq. Misbah played 110 innings at five and he's averaging 50.46, has scored 4,643 runs at five, has 10 hundreds and 35 50s, which I feel like, sure, bad conversion rate, but that's still a lot of runs. And Misbah's career average is 46.62. So he's averaging what? Let me do the math over here. Around four more runs per innings when he bats at five. And he was a proper mainstay for Pakistan in the Miss You era, the Misbah Yunus era, when they even, you know, climbed to the top of the test rankings for like 2 weeks or like half a minute. And he was one of the focal points of that team, both as captain and as batter. And everyone knew that when Pakistan are playing in the UAE, it is going to be, you know, a pain in the ass to get Misbah and Yunus out. Yeah,
basically. You have to go through him, don't you?
Hmm. And he wasn't like very pretty. Not a very aesthetically pleasing batter. In fact, he would bore you to death, but that kind of fits his profile perfectly in Test cricket. And versus spin, he could like slog sweep them to, I don't know if he was playing in Dubai, then Sharjah.
But that's also characteristic of number fives, it seems like, right? The guys we've picked, except for AB, not like the prettiest to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. That
and
it's
Yusuf. Yusuf was pretty to watch.
Yeah. So yeah.
But they're gritty, you're right.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot more gritty players.
Hmm. Okay, Estelle, two more picks for you then.
Okay, two picks for me. Let me see.
She's buying
time. Take your time. It's not like we're recording here.
Yeah, it's not like we have to record another quick picks after this and we're on a time crunch. Okay. That's not a thing at all.
I think this might be the first guy with an average lower than 50. I'm going with Mohammad Azharuddin as my next pick. 1600s at number five in 94 innings, averaging 48. Another one of like those guys who are really gritty out there. But he could be stylish, couldn't he? He was a very wristy player and really good against spin. So that would be my third pick, was it?
It's interesting.
He was incredibly stylish.
Yeah. A fan of the podcast recently reached out to me saying that you and Jared should do something on Azharuddin because he grew up admiring Azharuddin the most and was kind of heartbroken with all the corruption. But I just want to point out his conversion rate over here. Sure, he's averaging a smidgen under 49, but in 94 innings, he has 16 tons and 13 50s.
Yeah.
So if he's on one, then it's likely he'll score a ton. But I'm also guessing what this means is that there might have been a fair few low scores.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit like that. I think I described him in one of my old books. I didn't talk about him in The Art of Batting, but I remember talking about him in one of my old books of like, he was like, you know, the most delicious beer you'd ever tasted until you realized you'd taken a piss in it, which is, you know, what happened kind of at the end of his career with the corruption. Estelle's face there is a gift, by the way, if anyone could line that up for us. Look, he was a beautiful, I think, again, he's probably one of the quintessential number fives, like someone you just think of as that was his position and that's what he did. So I've got no issue with him being on this list. I think I would have had him a little bit lower considering some of the other players here. But yeah, there's no problems with him being on this list at all.
Yeah, I expected him to be in the top 15. So business as usual.
Okay, my next one is going to be Michael Clark.
I was waiting for this. I was like, why has she gone for Azharuddin over Michael Clark?
I was hoping one of you would pick him. But at this point, it feels like I have no other choice. So Michael Clark, I mean, to be fair, he has like nearly 6,000 runs in that position at 60, right? And again, great conversion rate, 20 hundreds, 20 50s. yeah, so I think he's another one who... Is he also one who should have moved up the order, I feel like?
He did, though, no?
And it was terrible.
Yeah.
It's a really weird one because he does have the second best average of all time, but it all comes from a basically, what, a year and a half period.
Yeah.
Where I think... I don't want to say... No, actually, I will say this. I don't think it mattered. It would have mattered where he batted in the order in that period. He would have made a ton of runs. And there's also like, you know, we're talking about triple hundreds with not outs and everything. Mm-hmm. And so did you guys see in the piece, I'm trying to remember the exact stats. You guys might be able to remember it, but we looked it up specifically with Michael Clarke because of how good he was in that one little period and how bad he was. So he averages about 41 for 7 years batting at number five. And then for 3 years, he averages 140. So where do you put that guy at that point? And also, he should have been a number four, right? Mm-hmm. He was obviously a number four, and yet he failed at number four all the way through. So then you've got that mental image in your head. And I think there's a lot of people that are going to be upset that he isn't higher up. I'm surprised Estelle didn't pick him earlier because, you know, Australian player from her era. But it does really show you that how conflicted we all are that he just wasn't fourth on, like, I had fourth pick, did I? No, I can't remember who had fourth pick. No, Estelle had fourth pick, loves Michael Clarke and all those sorts of players. And she went with Muhammad Yusuf she went double Muhammad's before Michael Clarke, right?
Basically.
She double Muhammaded before she went Michael Clarke. You went Andy Flower and Misbah Al-Haq, and I've gone Graham Thorpe and Alan Border. I'm not saying those players aren't better, but as we just said, he has the second best average at batting at number five. Hmm. But the problem with Michael Clarke is we all know how good he was, but there's always a feeling of asterisks when it comes to Michael Clarke, right? No matter how you look at it. And part of it is not even his own fault. It's because we all thought he was going to be one of the greatest batters of all time, and it never happened, right?
I mean, so, Pop ended his career with an average of 49.1 in 115 test matches. And if you look at his record at number five, like you said, those 3 good years elevate that average to 60.8 at five, right? He's got nearly 6,000 runs. He's scored 20 hundreds. He's got that 329 not out. And I also remember, Jared, you looking up how frequently Michael Clarke scored runs at that position when wickets fell early. And you know, every time he got to a score, he kind of made it count whenever that would happen. So if the rebuild is on, then it's properly on. Otherwise, he's getting out.
Yeah, I look, I've got no issues with what he did there. It's just the general issues with Michael Clarke. And, you know, he really shouldn't have been batting at number five in that period either. And, you know, it's just a bit ickier than it should be. And he should probably be higher on this list. But we obviously, all three of us feel the same. So and the seven Michael Clarke fans out there are going to be really upset. But the truth is, he's not one of the most popular cricketers of all time. So if you're going to slip anyone down the list, right, we probably won't get that much flack where maybe we should. I don't know.
I don't even know about that because, you know, 198 innings in total in test matches and 110 of those came at five. So he's batted at five for the bulk of his career, yet all of us think he's not a quintessential number five. So it's a confusing one. You don't really know where to place him, even though he's averaging 60.8 at the position and has scored nearly 6,000 runs. But anyway, I'm glad that that's out of the way. We've cleared the air and now it's my pick again. And I am going to... Let me see where I am going to go because this is now quite tough. There are a few big names over here who, again, weren't number fives. You know what? I'll just make this simple for myself. I'll go Inzamam ul Haq. He batted 49 times in Test cricket at number five, scored 2,144 runs, is averaging 51.04, which is a solid run more than his career average. And 600, 14, 50s. Inzi batted a lot in that position towards the latter half of his career. And he was probably one of the most reliable batters across the globe in Test cricket at that point as well. Yeah. It was runs guaranteed with old Inzi. And you know, in his earlier days, he was a bit more of a match winner who would kind of take the game away from you. Whereas later career Inzi was just the steady rock that you kind of had to go through and who could annihilate you when he willed, right? It was up to him.
Look, I think for me, it's a little bit that he played in a slightly easier era when he was good. And I don't think of him as a number five, but he was a fantastic number five.
I don't think of him as a quote-unquote number five either. But right now, we're kind of not really spoiled for choice at this point.
Well, that goes back that goes back to my original thing of there aren't that many number fives. That's why this is the trickier thing to do. All right.
She's gone the double Muhammad, and I've gone the double Huck.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself when I was writing the bit, actually. Okay, so I've got two picks back to back here. Mm-hmm. Inzi was next on my board, so that means I have to make a decision. I am going to go Clive Lloyd and David Gower.
Ooh.
Okay, right. So Clive Lloyd's record is not quite as good at number five, but he was the quintessential number five in everyone's mind for ages. The only reason his record, but the only thing is, he is actually better in other spots, right? And so everyone, if you ask people what his spot was, I think the vast majority of cricket fans would say number five. Right? I think that would be the thing that they would say of people from that era. And yet you actually look at it and he did better everywhere else. I think he was a great number five who made runs in other positions, if that makes sense. And so I'm more than willing to have him there. And then David Gower is the other one on my list. David Gower, probably a 4-5 sort of combo player. He could have played in either of those positions. Very underrated. And I think in a stronger side, Gower probably bats at five more consistently. And that's probably where he would have been best suited. So when we're talking about, when I was talking about before, the players who go up the order to help their team, right? David Gower spent quite a bit of his career batting at number three. And I think realistically, he did fine. But I think realistically, he probably would have ended up with, what's he ended up averaging? He's ended up averaging 44. I think if he bats number five his whole career, he probably averages around 50.
I mean, he's averaging 49.55 at number five, right? 49 innings is substantial. Over 2,000 runs, 7 tons, 850s.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
His career has actually struggles a little bit. Number three makes runs, to be fair. But number four, he really struggles. And I think number five is probably where he would have been best suited. But that was a horrendous team. He had to go up the order. He was probably yanked around a little bit in a way that Shivnarine Chandrapal and Steve Waugh didn't have to, didn't do, right? So I'm going based on all of what I know of English cricket and the way it was being run at the time, that David Gower is probably a better player than what his overall numbers show us. And I think, you know, it depends on how you look at it. I think he's probably more seen as a number four, but in my head, he should have been a number five. And that's probably what caused the issues.
On Clive Lloyd, though, like everything checks out with respect to Gower, but Clive Lloyd is averaging the same at other positions, right? Like career average is hovering around 46. Average at number five is hovering around 46. So wouldn't that just be his position then?
Oh, no. What I mean is he was seen as the... So have you got the numbers there? How many times did he bat in all those different positions?
Okay. So he's batted at 572 times. And I can quickly open up the rest of the positions as well. He batted third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. And batted most at number five, over 3,000 runs. And then number six is next.
So number six, he bats 47 times and he averages 49. Yeah. And so I think that, again, he is famous for being a number five and was probably one of the first players to dominate that position. But a lot of that memory also is mixed up with him being a number six, right? And that is because he gets older.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of those runs at number six come when he's a little bit older. But I suppose I'm still thinking of him as a number five. So I'm almost combining the two numbers there. But also, looking at that sort of quintessential player, that is what he was, right? He was someone who was seen in that position at a time that wasn't really a thing, right? Yeah. It wasn't really something that we talked about all that much in cricket, and he absolutely nailed it.
Okay. So that means you're done. And I have my last pick to go. And it's an absolute shame that we kept the cutoff point at 40 innings because guys like Mike Hussey, Garfield Sobers are now going to miss out. I'm not quite sure where to go with this one. There's an Indian pick that makes sense to me. And then there is another Pakistan pick whose numbers I'm looking at and I'm quite surprised, right? I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, me either.
I can probably speak to the Indian pick a bit more. So I'll go VVS Lakshman, right? And Lakshman, of course, was batting at five a lot for India, 74 innings at that position. He scored 2,877 runs. He's averaging 47.16, 600s in 1750s. And then, you know, he was a bit iconic for India in Test cricket as well because of that knock in Kolkata, 281, when India were made to follow on. And then they eventually won that Test match in Kolkata and won the series as well, 2-1. And he was a very important player for that Indian team. At five, because you had heaps of batting talent above him. And then you had kind of this Lakshman barrier. So, yeah, the other player that I was thinking about was Zaheer Abbas, but Lakshman's batted there more at number five, which is why I've gone with him.
The scores were level. They just needed a conversation. Instead, the only time they met up was at the same end, and Australia would go on to win that World Cup. In HitWicket, you've got those game-changing special abilities at your fingertips. Need to accelerate the scoring? Bang! Activate 2x, and suddenly every boundary is worth double. That's right, a 6 becomes a 12. The opposition won't know what hit them. Or maybe you need to put the brakes on a high-scoring power play. No problem. Unleash the heck, and watch the batter struggle to even score a single run. In fact, they might even end up going backwards. It's absolute chaos. Look at the King of Spin, for example. But there's more to it than just flashy special moves. Every player has their own unique passive traits that add another layer of strategy. Gilly, for example, he's a seam hunter, a nightmare for any pace bowler. And Beefy, well, he's got a golden arm. The longer a partnership lasts, the more dangerous he becomes. HitWicket challenges you to think like a true captain. You've got to analyze your players, understand their strengths and weaknesses, and then use those abilities and traits to outwit your opponent. It is a real test of your cricketing brain. Now, if you excuse me, I've got a strategy to revise. Yeah, I remember talking to Dravid about him, and Dravid said that he probably should have batted higher up the order and coming in low. I think boredom is the right point, but if you're coming in after all those good players, it goes one way or the other. Does that make sense? Like you either, it's either Michael Clarke. Actually, no, that's not a good example. That's a bit unfair on Michael Clarke. I'm trying to think of someone else. But, you know, if you're coming in after those good players, you kind of, it's kind of a, like a sweet ride. Like, you know, the sort of Gilchrist or Sobers, you know, some of those West Indian players, like, you know, they came in after really good positions. But the fact is that it probably did affect Laxman. I would say he's more talented than a lot of the other players on this list. And we never quite saw the most of it out of him because of the situation that he was in. And I do think that does play a part. And, you know, I think that's fair.
He also averages one more run per innings at five. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this pick because we're in that territory now, right? But I wanted to go for someone who I remember batting at five, which is why I've gone with Lakshman. Literally, that's my rationale.
That's fair. I don't think he's a bad call at all.
Okay. Wrap last it one. Off.
Yeah, so I'll go with the Sri Lankan pick because I haven't picked one yet. To me, in the Sri Lankan side, that he is the quintessential. Why can't I say that word? he is the number five.
You've already
think of.
Said it enough times in this podcast that if you take a shot every time any of us says quintessential or Estelle attempts to say quintessential, you'd probably end up in the hospital.
He's the guy you think of when you think of number five in Sri Lanka. At least people my age would think about him. Thilan Samaravira. Yeah. I think, to be honest, I think he overachieved. He played in a team where he, you know, was surrounded by all this batting talent. He got a lot of runs. And I'm looking at his record now. This is surprising me. Like, he averages over 45 against every country. Sorry, in every country. Sorry, no, not 45. Sorry. He averages over 45 in a lot of countries, except for, like, he's done really badly in Australia and England. But he got runs in South Africa, you know, played match-winning innings in tough conditions. And he was one of those guys who would just come in and kind of grit it out. Has a slightly better record than Lakshman, I think, in terms of average. Yeah, so he's averaging 47.59, has 11 hundreds and 21 fifties. The only thing I would say, though, is I think during that period, Sri Lanka played a lot of Bangladesh, who were just starting off, kind of. So he got a lot of runs against them in Sri Lanka.
I mean, he's got 11 hundreds, right, at number five. And, like, very correct of you to say that people of our generation, you and I in particular, will remember him. Also took a bullet, right? He's also remembered for that. And there was a period in between, I'd say a good 3 to 4 years, where he was a very difficult batter to get out, right? Yeah. I mean, that's how I remember him.
Do you know what I would call him? A quintessential number five.
All right. So honorable mentions then.
I was just going to say, Kumar spoke really highly. I know he's his teammate, but I spoke to a couple of other people as well, like, you know, proper batting nerds. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, especially against spin, were like, this is one of the best batters in the world. He's probably not as great against everything else. And it was also handy to be in a batting lawn or we came in behind Mahela and Kumar. Like, sometimes you've got to be in the right spot at the right time. Yes, honorable mentions. What have you got? Give me some.
We didn't do Zahir Abbas, did we? I had no idea Zahir Abbas was averaging over 50 at number 5. It's just that the sample size was a bit low. You know, with Inzi, the sample size was at 49, but I knew what Inzi could do at 5. With Zahir Abbas, I know. Yeah.
Of all those Pakistani batters, I think only Mizbah is like a proper, who you think of as a number 5, right?
Absolutely. And Zahir Abbas, I always thought was a proper top order bat, but he scored 2,000 plus runs at 5 in 42 innings. He's averaging 53.89. So I was tempted to go for him. Mm. But just based on the fact that I haven't watched him play, that's why I kind of got swayed away from him. But for many other people, I suppose he would make it. Here's a hot pick. Mushfiqur Rahim. Mm. Dinesh Chandimal.
Dinesh Chandimal. Exactly. Yeah. Ian Bell is another one. Mm-hmm. There's a few guys of recent times who actually had, and I don't want to slag off any of those players, especially Belly. Not that he'll be watching, but just in case. But it is an easier spot to bat.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you do see a lot of players who end up being quite handy there because it's just a little bit easier. Even we talk about it for pace, but it's also easier for spin because the ball isn't quite as hard by the time you come in, right? And so there is an element of that. I'll just go through some of the older ones as well, which I think there's some really interesting ones here. Colin Cowdery, I think, is someone who was an absolute star in that position. Viv Richards, I didn't pick him on purpose because I'm not sure I can even think of him as a number 5.
Exactly.
But because he played on when he was old, he did actually be a number 5 and he was really good at it. Right, like he probably deserves to be in this list, but he's not in this list because I refuse to. He's not. Do you know what he's not? A quintessential number 5.
You know why I didn't go for Viv? 63 innings and averaging 47.71, which is a sizable amount, and he's not averaging as much as his career average. So he's not as good at 5, which is why I was like, no.
He definitely wasn't as good as 5. I mean, he was finished by that stage. Doug Walters from Australia, who obviously has, for a generation, again, him and Clive Lloyd, I think, are the people that are people from the 70s and 80s will think of as their number 5s.
Estelle, this is the point in the podcast where Jared mentions the name of Tip Foster.
I'm not going to mention Tip Foster. I was actually going to, do you know who I was going to mention next? Brendan McCullum.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he batted at number 5 and he kind of changed his career trajectory at that point and the way that he went. But Tip Foster was also really good at cricket and made a lot of runs at number 5. But I barely batted there, didn't he? It was like all one innings.
It's interesting how Chandimal is averaging 50 at 5 and he's batting in first drop currently.
I think he would fall into that category of he should have probably batted higher but didn't.
If this podcast was recorded, I don't know, 6 months from now, Harry Brook would make it based on those numbers that he has already. Obviously, no 40 innings for him thus far, but he's averaging 65 batting at 5 at the time of this recording because this is right after the first England-New Zealand test. These are pre-recorded guys, just for the record.
They're live.
It sucks that Mike Hussey had only batted there 38 times in Test cricket because he was going.
I don't think of him as a number 5 either. I'm not sure he's quintessential. Is he quintessential, Estelle?
Wasn't he the one you tried to include by saying 40 innings?
I brought it down to 40 because a lot of these guys were at 46, 47, 49 innings. Originally it was 50, but then I was like, I can't bring it below 40, right? 40 innings means 20 tests, give or take.
Inzamam would have missed out, I think.
There are other people too who would have missed out.
All right, let's go through our list. I went A.B. de Villiers, Graham Thorpe, Alan Border, Clive Lloyd, David Gower, Bayram Went, Shivnarine Chanderpaul, Andy Flower, the Al-Haqs, Misbah and Inzamam, VVS Laxman. Estelle went Steve Waugh, Mohammad Yusuf, Mohammad Azharuddin, Michael Clarke, and Tilan Semawira.
Yeah, sounds about right to me. I don't think there are any big misses over here. It's all subjective after this, I suppose.
They're all big misses.
Yeah, but you guys can let us know in the comment section who we missed, even in the honorable mentions. If you have a name that we didn't, mention, tell us. And also let us know which one of us has won this particular round. I have an inkling that it might be me. Quite happy with my picks. But anyway, I leave that task to you guys. And that kind of wraps things up for this episode of the Quick Picks podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. We'll see you next week once again with another fresh episode of Quick Picks. That's all from now, though. Have a good one, guys, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.